Today is the 16th day of March. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Whew, I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here together with you today again. I mean, every day I say the same similar things, but man, every day I can be here is a day that I need to be here. And a day that keeps this rhythm going, that orients my life. And I'm so glad to be on the journey with so many of you who kind of need the same rhythm, right? The same path. I'm grateful to be on it with you, grateful to take the next step forward. And so let's move into that step that puts us back into the book of Numbers. Now we're reading this interesting story about the king of Moab, Balak, and this prophet who has been like hired as a cursing prophet, somebody to bring a curse upon the children of Israel. His name is Balaam. Numbers chapters 24 and 25. When Balaam saw that the Lord wanted to bless Israel, he didn't look for omens as he had done before. He turned toward the desert, looked up, and saw Israel's camp grouped by tribes. The Spirit of God entered him, and he delivered this message. This is the message of Balaam, son of Beor. This is the message of the man whose eyesight is clear. This is the message of the one who hears God's words, has a vision from the Almighty, and falls into a trance with his eyes open. How beautiful are your tents, Jacob, and the places where you live, Israel. Your tents spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars by the water. Water will flow from their buckets, and their crops will have plenty of water. Their king will be greater than Agag, and their kingdom will be considered the best. The God who brought them out of Egypt has the strength of a wild bull. He will devour nations that are his enemies, crush their bones, and pierce them with arrows. His people lie down and rest like a lion. They are like a lioness. Who dares to disturb them? Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. Balak became angry with Balaam. He clapped his hands and said, "I summoned you to curse my enemies, and now you have blessed them three times. Get out of here. Go home. I said I'd reward you richly, but the Lord has made you lose your reward." Balaam answered Balak, "I told the messengers you sent me, even if Balak would give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I couldn't disobey the Lord's command, no matter how good or bad the request might seem to me. I must say only what the Lord says. Even though I'm going back to my people, I'll give you some advice. I'll tell you what these people will do to your people in the days to come." Then Balaam delivered this message. This is the message of Balaam, son of Beor. This is the message of the man whose eyesight is clear. This is the message of the one who hears God's words, receives knowledge from the Most High, has a vision from the Almighty, and falls into a trance with his eyes open. I see someone who is not here now. I look at someone who is not nearby. A star will come from Jacob. A scepter will rise from Israel. He will crush the heads of the Moabites and destroy all the people of Sheth. Edom will be conquered, and Seir, his enemy, will be conquered. So Israel will become wealthy. He will rule from Jacob and destroy whoever is left in their cities. Then Balaam saw the Amalekites and delivered this message. Amalek was first among the nations, but in the end it will be destroyed. Then he saw the Kenites and delivered this message. You have a permanent place to live. Your nest is built in a rock, but it is destined to be burned, you descendants of Cain. When Assyria takes you as prisoners of war, he delivered this message. Oh no, who will live when God decides to do this? Ships will come from the shores of Cyprus. They will conquer Assyria and Eber, but they too will be totally destroyed. And Balaam got up and went back home. And Balak also went on his way. While Israel was staying at Shittim, the men began to have sex with Moabite women, who invited the people to the sacrifices offered to their gods. The people ate the meat from the sacrifices and worshipped these gods. Since the Israelites joined in worshipping the god Baal of Peor, the Lord became angry with Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight in the Lord's presence. This will turn the Lord's anger away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you must kill the men who have joined in worshipping the god Baal of Peor." One of the Israelite men brought a Midianite woman to his brothers. He did this right in front of Moses and the whole community of Israel while they were crying at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Phinehas, son of Eleazar and grandson of the priest Aaron, saw this. So he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and went into the tent after the Israelite man. He drove the spear through the man and into the woman's body. Because of this, the plague that the Israelites were experiencing stopped. However, 24,000 people died from that plague. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar and grandson of the priest Aaron, turned my fury away from the Israelites. Since he stood up for me, I didn't have to stand up for myself and destroy them. So tell Phinehas that I'm making a promise of peace to him. My promise is that he and his descendants will be priests permanently because he stood up for his God and he made peace with the Lord for the Israelites." The name of the Israelite man who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, son of Salu. Salu was the leader of a family from Simeon. The name of the Midianite woman who was killed was Cozbi, daughter of Zur. Zur was the head of a family from the Midianite tribes. The Lord said to Moses, "Treat the Midianites as your enemies and kill them because they treated you as enemies. They plotted to trick you in the incident that took place at Peor. They used their sister Cozbi, daughter of a Midianite leader, who was killed on the day of the plague caused by the incident at Peor." Luke 2, 1-35. At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census of the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All the people went to register in the cities where their ancestors had lived. So Joseph went from Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a Judean city called Bethlehem. Joseph, a descendant of King David, went to Bethlehem because David had been born there. Joseph went there to register with Mary. She had been promised to him in marriage and was pregnant. While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there wasn't any room for them in the inn. Shepherds were in the fields near Bethlehem. They were taking turns watching their flock during the night. An angel from the Lord suddenly appeared to them. The glory of the Lord filled the area with light, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you, a message that will fill everyone with joy. Today, your Savior, Christ the Lord, was born in David's city. This is how you will recognize him. You will find an infant wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a large army of angels appeared with the angel. They were praising God by saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those who have his goodwill." The angels left them and went back to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph with the baby who was lying in a manger. When they saw the child, they repeated what they had been told about him. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was amazed. Mary treasured all these things in her heart and always thought about them. As the shepherds returned to their flock, they glorified and praised God for everything they had seen and heard. Everything happened the way the angel had told them. 8 days after his birth, the child was circumcised and named Jesus. This was the name the angel had given him before his mother became pregnant. After the days required by Moses' teachings to make a mother clean had passed, Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem. They took Jesus to present him to the Lord. They did exactly what was written in the Lord's teachings. "Every firstborn boy is to be set apart as holy to the Lord." They also offered a sacrifice as required by the Lord's teachings, a pair of mourning doves or 2 young pigeons. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He lived an honorable and devout life. He was waiting for the one who would comfort Israel. The Holy Spirit was with Simeon and had told him that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah whom the Lord would send. Moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courtyard. Mary and Joseph were bringing the child Jesus into the courtyard at the same time. They brought him so that they could do for him what Moses' teachings required. Then Simeon took the child in his arms and praised God by saying, "Now, Lord, you are allowing your servant to leave in peace as you promised. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people to see. He is a light that will reveal salvation to the nations and bring glory to your people Israel." Jesus' father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is the reason that many people in Israel will be condemned and many others will be saved. He will be a sign that will expose the thoughts of those who reject him, and a sword will pierce your heart." Psalm 59. For the choir director, Altashket, a miktam by David when Saul sent men to watch David's home and kill him. Rescue me from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who attack me. Rescue me from troublemakers. Save me from bloodthirsty people. They lie in ambush for me right here. Fierce men attack me, O Lord, but not because of any disobedience or any sin or any guilt on my part. They hurry to take positions against me. Wake up and help me. see for yourself? O Lord God of armies, God of Israel, arise to punish all the nations. Have no pity on any traitors. Selah. They return in the evening. They howl like dogs. They prowl the city. See what pours out of their mouths, swords from their lips. They think, who will hear us? O Lord, you laugh at them. You make fun of all the nations. O my strength, I watch for you. God is my stronghold, my merciful God. God will come to meet me. He will let me gloat over those who spy on me. Do not kill them, otherwise my people may forget. Make them wander aimlessly by your power. Bring them down, O Lord, our shield, because of the sins from their mouths and the words on their lips. Let them be trapped by their own arrogance because they speak curses and lies. Destroy them in your rage. Destroy them until not one of them is left. And they will know that God rules Jacob to the ends of the earth. Selah. They return in the evening. They howl like dogs. They prowl the city. They wander around to find something to eat. If they are not full enough, they will stay all night. But I will sing about your strength. In the morning, I will joyfully sing about your mercy. You have been my stronghold and a place of safety in times of trouble. O my strength, I will make music to praise you. God is my stronghold, my merciful God. Proverbs 11:14. A nation will fall when there is no direction, but with many advisors, there is victory. Okay, so the drama is playing out in the book of Numbers at this point, and we're looking squarely at King Balak of Moab. So the prophet Balaam had gotten the message loud and clear when his donkey spoke to him, right? Like, so he's very clear on his directions. No matter what is promised, no matter the riches, no matter the prestige or honor, he can't curse Israel unless God tells him to, and God does not tell him to. Instead, he blesses God's people, which enrages King Balak. So Balak invites Balaam to view the camp of Israel from another location. The same thing happens. And then Balaam asks him to go to another place from a different perspective. And once again, Balaam blesses the people of God. So at this point, Balak flies into a rage against Balaam, clapping his hands and shouting, "I called you to curse my enemies. You've blessed them three times." And there is a mirror there, at least for me, a mirror there into life. Because there have been seasons, there have been times, there have been situations where I am like, I am the King Balak of the story without the crown. Often we want something so bad to happen. We ask God to bless it or to intervene or to change things in some sort of way. And we're trying to get all shiny and sparkly in some sort of way that, you know, he's going to bless us because we're doing so good. And we're trying to find the right way to pray it, hoping to convince him. But as it turns out, God isn't going to bless what he has not blessed. And he will not curse what he has not cursed, no matter how the argument gets spun. And so, I mean, that's so interesting when we like are asking God to bless something and it's not happening, and we're sort of sensing it's not working somehow, and so we run over to a different place and like invite God to look at it from a different angle. And then when that doesn't work, to go to from a different perspective, look at it from this perspective, I need this to happen. We argue these kinds of things and manipulate these kinds of things in our own lives so often. So the story kind of forces us to confront our own will and the ways that we attempt to manipulate to get our own will and order our own lives in places and in times where really the only move is to trust. But that's so hard. So Balaam is instructed to do only what God told him to do, and nothing more. And he had a dire warning. He had to obey. I mean, we're instructed the same way, to do what God tells us to do and nothing more. This only feels like a trap, or it's like constricting. Only when we want something God is not inviting us into. It's in those times that we find ourselves kind of thrashing around or acting like a toddler before God. But it's not because God is withholding. I mean, he is giving us his kingdom. He is not withholding from us. The kingdom is far greater than any riches or prestige or anything else that we want. God sees everything. If we believe that and trust in that, which means he's protecting us from misfortune rather than withholding fortune. And so may we rest to the best of our ability in that, rather than just keep looking for new angles from which we manipulate. And so Father, I mean, that's some stark stuff, because well, I'm guilty, yeah, but I'm pretty sure we're all in the same ship here. And we all go after the things we want and use the tools and mechanisms that we have, that have been handed to us, that have been imprinted upon us, how to get our way, how to somehow make it happen, when so often it shouldn't happen. And we're wandering into territory we do not belong. And so we look at this story. Look at King Balak, looking from angle to angle to angle, trying to get his will done. But you will not curse what you have not cursed, nor will you bless what you have not blessed. And so may we pay attention to that. And instead of looking for new angles, may we get the message and move in the vein, move in the flow of where you are moving, and avoid the places that are dry and empty. Because no matter what they look like, they are leading us into empty places that cannot fulfill. So Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app, that is home base as well. And being connected to home base, man, that's a good thing. So get connected and be connected. One place to get connected is the community section, whether on the web or in the app. There you will find the prayer wall. That is a resource for us here on the Global Campfire, but you will also find all the links to the different social media platforms that we are participating in. And so if you are in any of those places, we're probably in some of those places, if not all of them as well. And just staying connected there is a good thing. To find additional words of encouragement, some behind the scenes and announcements and things like that. And so check that out. That's in the community section. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring God's spoken word read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around this rhythm, a rhythm that just requires us to be present, to simply show up for ourselves, and by showing up for ourselves, we show up for each other. Nobody is going through this alone. That makes a world of difference. And so if that is life-giving to you, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB family. This is Diana from Florida, and I want to pray for Liana, whom is having a biopsy for a cyst in her thyroid. She is 13 years old, and beloved Cheryl in Tacoma, Washington, called in for her. Dear Jesus, we lift up Liana into your hands, God, and I just want to thank you that this has been discovered and that a team of medical professionals is investigating. By now, she has probably already had this biopsy, and either the results are being analyzed or they are still being determined. We pray in the name of Jesus that this cyst would be benign and that it would have no impact of consequence to Liana's life. Lord Jesus, we pray that this would be an opportunity for Liana to experience you in a way that she's never experienced you before. We pray that you would heal her, O Lord God, and eliminate this cyst in the name of Jesus. And that through all of this, it would draw Liana closer to you, O Lord Jesus. We pray for her family, O Lord God. We pray that her parents and family members that are caring for Liana and closest to Liana would lean on you and not on their own understanding. That they would trust you and lean not on their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge you so that you would direct your steps. And that through all of this, they would cling to your will, knowing that that's going to be what's best for Liana. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I am just calling to get prayer for spiritual warfare. Really being attacked, what feels like, or pursued at every angle, mentally, physically, psychologically, emotionally, even from a religious standpoint. It feels like an army of people are just ganging up to, you know, attack me in every way, from an identity standpoint, cyber attacks, literally, you name it. And I am really just struggling psychologically on, like, moving and keeping up with everything and taking care of my kids and maintaining my mental health. or trying to at least. And I'm just really, really seeking some prayer. I'm in Americus, Georgia, a little town in Southwest Georgia. But yeah, if anyone out there could just pray for me, that would be great.
My prayer request is for my wife, Marlita. We met each other late in life and are madly and deeply in love. But this past couple weeks ago, she went in for scans and things are looking scary. They scheduled a biopsy that she'll go to this week, and the likelihood of it being breast cancer is high. And so we are pleading with everyone for their prayers to lift her up for healing or a remission. Either way, we believe God can do this. Strength, resilience, and just to be lifted up for healing. I can't live without her, and I love her deeply.
Good morning, Brian and Jill. This is Shannon from Texas, and I just wanted to call in because I know there's people out there listening in, and I know they're lonely. I know there's times when you have evil thoughts in your head that tell you you're not good enough, that tell you it's not going to help, that listening or worshiping is not going to work, it's just not going to work for you. But let me tell you, I had those thoughts after being in prison and getting out 3 years ago yesterday. This is my fourth year with the Daily Audio Bible. Everything I prayed for while I was locked up came at the right time. When I got out, everything that I've prayed for, to be reunited with my family, with a godly woman, my finance, everything can be restored. You just cannot give up. And if there's someone out there who thinks that it can't happen for you, believe me, it works. It works. This is a great family. This is a great campfire to be around. I love everyone on it. I love listening to the prayers. I love praying for the people. I pray with them daily. And I want to say, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I pray for you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't give up. Amen.
Hi, neighbors. It's Lisa, the encourager. I wanted to call to give you an update on my friend Kathy, who has cancer. I want to thank everyone for praying for her. She is improving. She has seen improvement in her lung that had collapsed. That's starting to heal up. And also the medication that she's on is helping with her cancer. So thank you so much. And a special shout out and appreciation for her prayer, Kay from Ohio. Thank you so much for your very, very kind words. And ever since you prayed for me and my friend Kathy, I just wanted you to know I've been praying for you as well. I know I thought you mentioned something about an autoimmune illness that you had, and I could be wrong about that, and I'm so sorry, but I have been praying for you just in general. I love hearing your prayers, and I thank you so much for praying for my friend Kathy. All right, love you guys. Thank you.
Hey, Deb family, this is God's Life Speaker. I need you. It is the 11th of March. I am going to Rich's house. You have been praying for him. He's one of our youth leaders who's 58, has cancer that's terminal. And his son is one of our youth. He's 14, an eighth grader in our youth group. And Rich took a turn and they put him on hospice. So going there right now, I know that God will hear prayers, and He is not a God of time. Just the strength to sit with this family. I've experienced hospice before, and I've experienced death before, but I have never experienced a youth losing a parent. And this youth has been part of our youth group forever. And he's in my small group. We have a large youth group, so it's been a pleasure to see him grow and hear him talk about his dad over the past 2.5, almost 3 years that this has been going on, but now we're at the end. Lord, would you just raise this family up? Heavenly Father, bless Rich, bless his family, especially bless his son. In Jesus' name.